Well, Team Grace, welcome back. This is our third talk for this Formation Day on the work and the identity and the mission of the Holy Angels. I'm very glad that you're tuning in. Of course, I know some of you are with me live. I know that others are watching it later by recording. Either way you're able to do it, I'm just glad you're taking this time to dive into this part of our faith and to allow your faith become a more enhanced, a more developed part of your life. I think it's so important for each of us. And of course, we're all busy. We've got different things going on. But we do what we can. The great thing about these formation days is that it's the one-hit wonder. Three talks spaced out in order for us just to say, I'm going to give 3 hours to my faith. And just try to learn about this particular point. So I'm grateful you're doing that. Welcome. And of course, this is our last talk as we talk about the angels. I do want to let you know our next formation day will be Saturday, November 21st. And I am open, Team Grace, to any ideas you might have on what you think our formation day should be. So please feel free to email me some ideas or thoughts so we can plan for that November 21st formation day. So, all right, well, with that said, what I want to do in this third talk is to discuss the work and the ministry of the Holy Angels in the life of the church and in our discipleship. Because we've talked about who they are, what they do, about some of the accounts and the scriptures, and we've spoken about their functions and the choirs and so on. Well, all that now should lead us to say, but where are the angels now? Like, what work are they doing in the life of the church? What are they doing in my life, in my discipleship? So I think it's important that this third talk we devote to that issue. We address that, try to highlight some things. So with that, I want to go back to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the number 334. And this title is The Angels in the Life of the Church. See how helpful the catechism can be? So even the catechism takes us through this catechesis and then wants to apply it. This now, this is what it should look like in your life. So let's go then to number 334. And it reads, in the meantime, the whole life of the church benefits from the mysterious and powerful help of angels. So the entire life of the church, and the church acknowledges it's mysterious, but we benefit from the work of the angels. First and foremost, because all the baptized have guardian angels. All humanity is protected by the angelic ministry. And then the specific work of the gospel, the specific work of the church is also guided and assisted by the work of the angels. So I spoke about how the four seraphim are the guardians, the patrons of the four gospels. So obviously the fact that the four highest of angels who guard the very throne of God are the ones in charge of the gospel books shows how important this is, the work of the church and the work of the gospel. So the church is reminding us we all benefit. Now, in our own discipleship, as we benefit these guardian angels we have, each of us, there are a few questions people sometimes ask. So what if my guardian angel talks to me? Good, talk back, right? You should be regularly talking to your guardian angel, and you should not be surprised if your guardian angel periodically talks back. Now, I will say in terms of theophanies, if the guardian angel were to manifest himself, I will say that overwhelmingly in the tradition, the angels take the masculine form. You might say, well, wait, why would they do that? We suspect theologically it's out of deference to the incarnation of the Son of God. The fact that when God took flesh, he took a human male form. That the angels, out of deference, take a male form in theophany. The angels are pure spirits. They don't have gender. But when they take a theophany, overwhelmingly in the tradition, they take a male form. Now, when you hear that, you might say, well, wait a minute, are you trying to say that my guardian angel is a man? Remember, they're pure spirits. They have no gender. But when they take form, when they appear to us, they oftentimes will take a male form. Now, that's not to say that there aren't occasions where sometimes we will see the accounts of a guardian angel in a feminine form. But overwhelmingly, it's because they take the male form. And it's because, again, that respect to the fact that God became a man and took on a male form. So I just want to just stress that in terms of if a guardian angel appears to you and it's a feminine form, just be more discerning, because we have to be careful. We know that there are not only good angels, we know that there are bad angels, right? So I think it's so important that when Gabriel appeared to Our Lady put him to the test. Zechariah tried it, and he got his mouth shut, didn't he? Right? But Gabriel shows Mary deference when Our Lady questions him. How can this be? I do not know man. She's like, I'm under a vow. Like, God would not call me to break my vow to him, right? And Gabriel shows her respect, deference, and answers her, right? So we see, of course, that the discernment of spirits, the discernment of angels can be very important. So if an angel speaks to you, great. It would oftentimes will call you to do something that is within the gospel, like to love your neighbor, forgive this person, go the extra mile, great. If your guardian angel starts to appear to you telling you to rob a bank, you might want to say no. And you might tell that bad guardian angel, that fallen angel, to go to hell, right? Because you got to be careful. So if the angel speaks to you, don't be surprised. Just make sure that you have a discerning heart. If an angel should appear to you, don't be surprised. If it's a feminine form, just be a little more discerning. It could be that that's one of those extraordinary exceptions I spoke of, right? And dear friends, we shouldn't be surprised. Read Acts of the Apostles. We should not be surprised that periodically the angels will speak or even manifest themselves to us. So this is not peculiar. This is how this is supposed to work. The angels are with us, always. With us individually, with the work of the church, with her shepherds. The angels are working hard in order to bring about this gospel. Remember, the guardians of the patrons of the gospel are these seraphim, the burning ones. So, 334, we all benefit from the presence of the angels. Speaking of guardian angels, every once in a while I'm asked, how do I know the name of my guardian angel? Well, every angel does have a name. Oftentimes, truth be told, we will not know the name of our guardian angel until we enter paradise. With that said, there are times when a guardian angel could manifest his name to a person. That's happened on occasion. It's rare. But it has happened. It's not completely unheard of. But oftentimes what will happen is the angel, our guardian angels, will allow us to name them in order to nurture affection between us. Right? So the guardian angel has a name. I might not know it until heaven, but he allows me to give him another name so that I have something that I can call him by and develop a relationship and affection with him. So if you feel the call to a particular name, or a particular name will help you, in the spiritual tradition, the angels welcome that, so long as it serves the greater good of developing an intimacy with them so that you might more greatly love and serve God. So that's possible. And the naming of guardian angels is not out of the sphere of our experience. Okay, I want to continue with the catechism. So we have 334. I want to go now to number 335. It reads, in her liturgy, the church joins with the angels to adore the thrice holy God. She invokes their assistance in the funeral liturgy, in paradisum ducant te angeli. May the angels lead you into paradise. Moreover, in the cherubic hymn of the Byzantine liturgy, so in the Eastern rites of our church, she celebrates the memory of certain angels, more particularly St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael, and the guardian angels. The divine liturgy of the Eastern rites tend to be very emphasized, even more so than the Roman rite, our rite, the presence of the angels. We have more there than what oftentimes you recognize. I told you at the end of the preface, you've probably prayed that prayer, heard that prayer your whole life, and perhaps not until now, I hope not, but maybe not until now, you didn't realize those were choirs of angels, right? So we have them in the Roman liturgy. That's our liturgy in the Roman Catholic Church. But even more so in the Eastern rites of the Catholic Church, the angels are even more pronounced as the Catechism is indicating. Let's continue to number 336 here in the Catechism. It reads, from its beginning until death, human life is surrounded by the watchful care and intercession of the angels. Beside each believer stands an angel as protector and shepherd, leading him to life. Already here on earth, the Christian life shares by faith in the blessed company of angels and men united in God. So again, the Catechism is just telling us what many of us learned as children and what we believe in our devotional life and in through the Mass, that the angels are here, that they're here to help us, to rule us, guide us, shepherd us. I think that simple little prayer that many of us learned as children, we spend our entire life trying to live, and we ask our guardian angel to light and to guard, to rule and to guide. When we truly want to surrender our life to the will of God, and we ask our angels to help us. It's a beautiful prayer. The Catechism there, number 334 to 336, stresses the life of the angels in the life of the church. Okay, now let's break this down in terms of our own discipleship. So we talked about we should be praying to our guardian angel. Maybe we have the devotional practice of naming our guardian angel. Okay, now let's talk about a few other things that we can do in terms of the angels in our own discipleship. So first, I think just communication and prayer to our guardian angels is important. Now, if that's in a set prayer, wonderful. Our set prayers are powerful. They help us. They mold our spontaneous prayer. Very important. But I think it's just so important that we pray to our guardian angel. I remember years ago hearing a story from a devout religious sister who said that when we don't pray to our guardian angel, then every day we don't talk to our guardian angel, we take one step away, one step away, one step away. And that's one step farther away from our guardian angel being able to help us. So whatever it is, whatever form it is, prayer form, whatever, even if it's just spontaneous from our hearts, we need to be talking to our guardian angel every day. Remember, dear friends, this powerful, angelic, spiritual, non-corporeal, its own species, majestic, mighty warrior, has been created by God, given to you at your baptism in order to help you. We each have that, the baptized. We have this powerful angel given to us. And I just think that we need to really understand that and understand that the responsibility and the privilege we have to pray to our guardian angel, to allow the guardian angel to truly be a part of our life. Okay, first we need to talk to our guardian angel. Now get this. We can talk to the guardian angels of other people. Yes. Padre Pio used to constantly tell people, send me your guardian angel. Send me your guardian angel. We can pray to the guardian angel of other people. We can send our guardian angel to other people. Someone once asked me, Father, I really, really struggle with this particular family member. I just don't know what to do. Okay, pray to their guardian angel. Like what? When every time you know you're going to see them, before you see them, just pray to their guardian angel. And just ask their guardian angel to help you to be charitable, patient, and kind. Pray to their guardian angel. They're like, Father, I never thought about that before. Exactly. We have a whole army, an invisible army created by God to help us live the Christian way of life. Some time also ago, an older member of the Christian faith, older woman asked me, Father, please, please pray for my grandson. He's lost. He's run away from home. There's some mental illness and some drug abuse. Please, can you pray for this person? I said, I will absolutely pray for your grandson. And I said to this person, and I would also encourage you to pray to his guardian angel. And she just looked at me and said, what? I said, his guardian angel knows exactly where he is. Pray to his guardian angel to help. Because the angel's there and the angel wants what's best. And the angel wants him to be safe. And the angel wants him to be holy. Like you pray to his guardian angel. She started tearing up. She said, I've never thought about that. Exactly. we can pray to the guardian angels of other people, people we struggle with, people we're concerned about, people we're worried about. We can send our guardian angel to places. There are some saints that love to go to daily Mass, and there were times they couldn't go to daily Mass. St. Rita of Kasha would do this. She'd send her guardian angel to Mass. I can't get there today. I really wish I could. I'm sorry I can't go. She'd send a guardian angel to Mass. I bet she loved it. All right, I get to go to Mass today. So we have to talk to our guardian angel, talk to the guardian angels of our neighbors, talk to those of our family or extended people that we might be worried about or pray, want to pray for. The guardian angels are very important. All right, with that also, I'd like to say that there's actually a consecration that you can make to your guardian angel. You can Google this. It's a small preparation. It's not as big as some of the other consecrations, but you can do a little preparation and you can then make that beautiful consecration. It's a prayer of consecration to our guardian angel. That's a beautiful practice. Just to show our guardian angel that we want to be open and we want them to, our guardian angel to shepherd us and guide us. That's important. There's also a vast array of other prayers to the angels. So of course, the most popular is the one I've quoted a few times today, the guardian angel prayer, but there's powerful prayers to the other angels. To Raphael the healer, beautiful prayer to pray for those who are suffering or who are ill, and so on. Beautiful, powerful. Of course, there's the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. We all know that here at Team Grace. We pray that after every Mass. That's one that can be prayed. Someone says, Father, I feel like there's something just bad in my home, right? Some time ago, someone said to me, Father, like we had this family member visit, and I don't know what they were doing in their room. I don't know if they were like playing with, you know, the occult, or I don't know what they were doing, but after they left, the house just feels heavy and everyone's in a bad mood and just, we're not sure what's going on. Okay, well, sprinkle the whole house with holy water and pray the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. They go, okay, they did it, they came back, everything's fine. Okay, you know, powerful. Incidentally, there's also the St. Michael the Archangel chaplet. So if you really love that prayer and you want to pray that and have develop even a stronger relationship with St. Michael the Archangel, there's the chaplet of St. Michael. Beautiful. It's just like the rosary, like the chaplet of Divine Mercy. You can use a rosary. You can Google how to pray it and just begin to pray that if you really feel a call to that devotion. Or if you think that your home or your family is under particular spiritual assault, then you can definitely pick up that chaplet of St. Michael the Archangel. There's also a beautiful devotion to the holy angels for purity. And there's actually a cord that can be worn around one's waist. So it's in honor of the holy angels. This is a beautiful devotion in our tradition. I've noticed within the past couple of years that has seen a resurgence. So of course it's in the tradition, but it kind of started fading away, but now it's come back. So this prayers for the holy angels for purity and this sacramental cord that's worn, that can be worn, that's a beautiful devotion to the guardian angels, to the angels that we see in the church today. And there are others, dear friends. I'm just trying to give you sporadic examples of devotions to the angels that you can do as you try to allow the angels to truly become a part of your discipleship. We say in the Creed that we believe in things visible and invisible. We're acknowledging in part the existence of the angels. The belief of the existence of the angels is a truth of our faith. They were with our Lord. They prepared his way. They spent his earthly life with him. They dwell with him forever, and they dwell in the life of the church, and they want to be a part of our discipleship. The demands of the Christian way of life can be overwhelming. We need the help of God's grace in order to live it well. As a part of that grace, God has blessed us with the assistance of the angels, our guardian angel, and the entire choirs of angels. In our discipleship, we have to continue to draw closer to these angelic friends and let them be a part of our discipleship. So there's so much more to be said, Team Grace. I hope that you have enjoyed our day together today as we have explored the holy angels. Again, I'm very glad that our parish has such a devotion to the angels. I hope that our time together today has assisted you in understanding these angels. As a reminder, our next formation day is November 21st. No topic yet, because I'm going to ask you to please email me some ideas. So thank you again, Team Grace. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. God bless you.